Kwaba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
We are back again with Sats and Gwei, and this year, as of course we have previously mentioned, we continue to have lots of surprises for you. We'll continue to bring you the reports, updates, and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent, and sometimes about the globe, but there are also some improvements that we're doing for this new year, and I am still Miss Purple.
And I am Neki,
your highly esteemed decentralized reporters from Africa.
I like the sound of that, highly esteemed. We take a quick look at how the markets are doing today. Bitcoin currently sits at a comfortable $20,799.16, which is a big bump from the last week, where it was trading at $16,923.27. Ethereum has also seen a very significant increase, about 20%, going from $1,263.19 last week to $1,532.09 this week. Optimism also seems to be doing really well, currently sitting comfortably at $1.70, up from what it was last week at $1.1. Matic token currently sits at $0.9868, comfortably up by about 20% from what it was last week at $0.8038. And the Bank token has remained relatively stable, currently sitting at $0.008833, up from what it was last week, only slightly, at $0.008069. I mean, I am super ecstatic about Bitcoin. I really only hope it lasts, because we know that these things are never exactly stable. But this is nearly a 4K bump in its trading market trading value in the past week. And I think for a lot of people, that is a sign of hope and a ray of good things to come in the future. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that it stays where it is or goes up and doesn't dip again, because, well, nobody likes a dip.
Moving over into our national currencies, starting off with the Ghanaian cedi, which was at 10.35 last week, but is now currently at 11.96 cedi to the dollar, which means it's down by 15.56%. That's one of the largest movements of the national currencies this week, and it's not in a good way. The Nigerian naira is at 452.59 naira to the US dollar, down by 0.564% from last week's 450.05. The Lesotho Luti and South African rand are at 16.81 rand to the dollar, down or rather up by 1.75% from last week's 17.11 rand to the dollar. The King and shilling is at 123.43 shilling to the dollar, up by 0.178% from last week's 123.65 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 604.65 franc to the dollar, up by 3.35% from last week's 625.64 franc to the dollar. Overall, I think one can never really tell where markets are looking, because you have, you know, maybe a trickle of something doing really, really well and then another one doing really, really poorly. But overall, unfortunately, it doesn't look like we have a lot of upward momentum. So once again, a reminder that we have no idea what's about to happen when it comes to financial markets and, you know, global economies. All we can say 100% for sure is never bet on money you cannot afford to lose. That is the best piece of advice I think anybody can give you, financial or otherwise. Never bet on something that you cannot afford to lose, whether it's money or otherwise. And with that, we're going to give a quick recap from last week of some of our either most favorite headlines or headlines that we found to be particularly interesting. And my personal favorite is about Morocco, and that is that Morocco is now currently finalizing crypto laws and their framework alongside the World Bank and the IMF suggestions. And this is according to the central bank. I am very curious to see what Morocco is doing, but if you want to hear more about that particular headline, be sure to listen to last week's Sats and Gwei episode to hear more on that.
Yeah, I think one that particularly piqued my interest, funny enough, was the story about Akon trying to launch his, crypto city project with the token called the A-Coin, which is basically named after him. Yeah, it's actually what piqued my interest last week. And I've been, I think I've been following it the past week. No new updates yet, but I really would like to see what comes out of it. So, and that brings us to a wrap up from the bit of news from last week. We're moving on to this week's headlines, and we'll be kicking off in Nigeria, where a Nigerian innovator has launched the first active Bitcoin Lightning node in the country.
The Bitcoin Lightning Network has served as a foundational basis for a crop of exciting projects that have emerged from the Bitcoin community. A Bitcoin Lightning node has been launched in Nigeria with the purpose of better positioning the African continent to benefit from the myriad of layer 2 payment platforms or networks that are built atop the Bitcoin network. Due to erratic electric supply, the node is powered by a diesel generator. Megasleep, the innovator behind the deployed node of 2023 in Nigeria, said in a statement, and I quote, "Light takes 50 milliseconds to cross the earth. This is quick. But with many hops, these milliseconds can add up. And when you're standing at a point of sale waiting for your payment to clear, it can be really frustrating." End quote. The goal is to make low-cost payments more available to Africans using the Lightning Network as a front. This is quite exciting. I think overall we do need just more innovation behind this, you know, because I don't know how much I can confidently rely on a diesel generator to power a Lightning node. But I can also only imagine that it's quite expensive for somebody to try to use something else, maybe something greener. I would highly recommend, or maybe perhaps suggest, or maybe make a plea of people to say that, you know, in situations like this, it could really, really go a long way to have somebody fund a project of this nature to perhaps assist with making sure to create green energy, such as maybe solar powered energy as well as wind energy, so that if the sun is not out, then at least the wind can do its thing. That way the diesel generator is not so much the primary source of power, but is rather the emergency source of power, if that makes any sense. I feel like that way it's a lot less costly on his end as well, not just for him, but also, of course, for the people who will hopefully be relying to use that. So moving on to our next headline, Pan-African crypto exchange Yellowcard has now launched its new payments feature.
I think Yellowcard has made a lot of significant headlines in the past year. I mean, only last year they took the entire DeFi space by storm when they completed their $40 million Series B funding. Now, the purpose of that funding was for expansion, you know, on their infrastructure and improving the quality of their service, improving the range of offerings they had within their app. African currency crypto exchange Yellowcard has introduced a new payment option called YellowPay that enables users to rapidly and cost-free send and receive money using the Yellowcard crypto exchange platform with only a few taps on their phones. Now, in the words of co-founder and Yellowcard CEO, Chris Morris, and I quote, "By enabling instant, low-cost transactions across borders, we are helping to create a more connected and dynamic Africa. This is more than just a money transfer service. It's a powerful tool that will unlock new opportunities for people across Africa." End quote. Now, this is fantastic. You know, we in the traditional world, we have a lot of tech companies, especially people who are in the fintech space, having their own payment services, not just the fintech space. I mean, a lot of whales have their own payment services. We have Apple Pay, we have Google Pay, and we have all of that. But I think this is the first time I'm probably hearing of a native payment option for a crypto exchange. I'm not sure. I think there might be Binance Pay. I'm not quite sure about that. But I think YellowPay is a great idea, allowing people to do this, send and receive money using the Yellowcard platform pretty quickly and at near zero fees. That is incredible. I mean, that would encourage a lot more people to want to use their service. Moving on to the next headline, Ghanaian payment startup Paybox believes Africa can leapfrog into DeFi.
A most significant problem that besets the African financial system is the difficulty with completing cross-border payments or finding efficient middlemen to facilitate the process. A And this has been a problem for a really, really long time. In a statement by Paybox co-founder David Boyodoku during the 2022 Africa Money and DeFi Summit in Accra, Ghana, decentralized finance presents a solution to cross-border payments challenges. Other statements made by David during the interview, he also said, and I quote, "Africa has the ability to leapfrog into decentralized finance, DeFi, and smooth over the difficulties of cross-border finance through blockchain and Web3. Decentralizing finance in Africa will give everyone access and the choice of alternative currencies. It offers financial and digital inclusion," end quote. Paybox is already in the business of providing payment solutions to small and medium scale businesses, and it is their firm philosophy that DeFi through Web3 powered technology can be the answer to this pressing need that many, many Africans continue to have. This is 100% true, factual, in that cross-border payments are so complicated. You know, I have tried moving funds from my South African bank account to my Lesotho bank account. And I do not kid you, even though I could easily just go across the border, it will take me about maybe an hour max to go across the border, go withdraw the cash, come back into the country, and then go find an ATM and deposit into that ATM. It would be a net total of, say, maybe 3 hours if there's traffic. But if I use the banking system, it's going to take me 3 days. And it becomes so frustrating because can you imagine? That's thankfully because that's both are my accounts, I can still access the funds. But if you're somebody who's dependent on somebody else from another country to send you money, i.e. remittances, it's not awesome. It's not awesome at all because there's absolutely nothing you can do except wait. So it is great to see, you know, more platforms continue to rise up across the continent and showing that for us, it's not just about, you know, getting some quick gains. It's also about solving problems that we continue to have and problems that are so heavy on us and so heavy on our families and our financial freedom as well. So kudos to Paybox and kudos to every other project that is up and coming across the continent and continues to innovate to solve those problems. Moving on to our next headline, Nigeria is set to create a legal framework for stablecoins and ICOs.
You know, I'm just going to say that I think it's pretty good that the Nigerian government is finally starting to realize, or should I say recognize, that cryptocurrency is very soon going to become an integral part of its economy in some way, in many ways. I think the first step they took to trying to recognize the importance of a digital economy would be when the CBDC was first launched, that's the eNaira. And I feel like even though they decided not to completely align with cryptocurrency or with, you know, blockchain payments and all of that, the eNaira was sort of a signal that they were trying to get into a more digital economy. Now, Nigeria is on its way to finalizing a legal framework, which will serve as a legal umbrella for stablecoins and ICOs, this and initial coin offerings. The Central Bank of Nigeria has cited the need for this framework in its latest strategy paper. The 83-page report published by the CBN holds some recognition of the fact that stablecoins have potential to be a likely means of exchange in the future. The report also recognized the need for regulations around ICOs, as well as measures to protect investors from losses. The report, however, also highlights the potential of ICOs as a means for initiatives such as raising funds for capital projects and crowdfunding. I mean, this is really, really good stuff, and I am totally in line with the aspect they are trying to tackle with investor losses. I mean, we have coins go public for a lot of money, and then within the next couple weeks or couple months, they suddenly tank down to zero or near nothing. And people who buy them at the onset end up losing a ton of money. That's what is wrong with a lot of projects that are launched these days. It just feels like the people who launch them after initial public offering or initial coin offering are no longer looking out for their investors. It's just like, oh, you've bought it, now it's yours, you deal with it. And I don't think that's how it should be like. I feel like even after the ICO, whatever effort was put into trying to keep that system afloat or build that system up should still be put into trying to make sure that investors are protected. And if that is what the Nigerian government is trying to do, I think that is a really great initiative. Moving on to the next headline, Machankura's Bitcoin wallet targets Africans with old school phones and no internet.
The goal of a truly decentralized financial economy is to allow people to have unfettered access to their assets. Machankura's Bitcoin wallet is one step closer to fulfilling this vision with a technology that will allow Africans to send and receive Bitcoin without needing an internet connection. A basic phone with limited functionality will be able to send and receive Bitcoin using Machankura's digital wallet. This service is available to Bitcoin users in Nigeria, Tanzania, South Africa, Kenya, and five other African countries. It is intended to serve areas that are technologically underserved with poor or no internet connection at all. It is powered by the Bitcoin Lightning Network, which will allow for cheaper and faster transactions and will further foster digital inclusion in these areas where a huge digital divide continues to exist. As a person who has seen these things, you know, when you see just how far behind a lot of people still are when it comes to access to technology, and sometimes it's not out of them not wanting. It's simply because it is so expensive. You know, we underestimate how much a phone costs because a lot of us have smartphones and we like, you know what, it was cheap. Or it wasn't that bad, or perhaps it was a good investment. There are other people who do not have that choice. There are people who earn so little that the only hope they can have to having a functioning device is to just simply buy a more, you know, traditionally old basic phone that simply has the calling feature, the SMS feature, maybe has radio, maybe has a few other features, but does not necessarily have access to internet and all the others. So I am excited to see what more can continue to come out of, you know, projects like Machankura. Moving on to our next headline, fintechs accounted for over 30% of tracked Kenyan tech startups in 2022. That is quite a number.
Yep, that is quite a number. A recent study to track Kenyan tech startups has shown that fintech startups represent a whopping 30.2% of the total number of tech startups in Kenya. This percentage is representative of 93 out of the 308 tech startups in the country, according to a most recent study by Disrupt Africa. The study revealed that the fintech startups alone employed over 3,000 persons within the period under consideration, as a significant fraction of the overall 11,400 persons employed by the tech sector within the same period. Now, besides accounting for the largest share of tech startups, fintechs also employed more workers than other subsectors with 3,100 employees. Agritech and e-commerce are the only other tech subsectors that employed more than 1,000 workers. Concerning the tech startups' use of blockchain, the study found that 40% of the 30 blockchain-based ventures are fintechs, e-health being 20% and agritech being 16.6% are ranked second and third, respectively. You know, what continues to surprise me is we have tons of players in the fintech industry right now. Like, there is literally so much competition everywhere. I think the competition is healthy anyway, because they mostly all seem to be thriving and doing well. And it doesn't even seem like anybody is edging anybody out yet. And I'm not exactly sure how, you know, they've all managed to coexist and stay alive in this space at the same time. I mean, in a country that has about 93 fintech startups, and most of them would pretty much offer the same or similar services, but still thriving and still solving a lot of the problems that plague us on the African continent, like unemployment and, you know, cross-border payments and everything else that might be wrong with our financial systems. It's impressive, you know. That is a lot of startups and that is a lot of people to employ. And this just goes to show how much good tech has gone on to do for the world. Now, moving on to the next headline, which would be our last but not least. Prisca Munkenimonia's art highlights violence and dispossession in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC.
Art speaks many languages, and we all hear its voice in our own diverse ways. NFTs have been nothing short of a phenomenon since they emerged into the Web3 space, and they continue to be a means for artists to express the truest depths of their creativity and emotions using blockchain technology. To photographer, film director, and visual artist Priska Munkeni Munir, art is a form of expression against social vices in modern-day society. Through meaningful collaboration with global photography organization Fellowship and the Louise Alexandra Gallery, Priska will display her most recent work of art called La Vie est Belle at the Paris Photo Event. In a statement about what the project meant to her, she said, and I quote, "It's a denunciation of the violence towards the mine workers, but also towards artists, since they are both ignored. They are both children of the country, but forsaken by their nation. They work with very little or no help at all. So it's kind of a revolution and a political statement, and a message of hope as well, because creating something beautiful with recycled cell phones or cans and other objects is a way of getting our land back," end quote. She hopes that this work in some ways will inspire a revolutionary change in the DRC and represent an emblem of hope for the future. That is quite heavy. I think that is, wow. You know, when you think about it, sometimes when you think about this kind of revolutionary art or art that sparks either a political statement or sparks a certain movement of sorts, a lot of people tend to look down on it because it's like, what is that? You know, where we want pretty things that make us feel good. We don't necessarily want something that makes us feel uncomfortable, you know, and perhaps forces you to reconsider your life choices. But when you sit and you think about this, you start to realize that she's right. Artists and miners, they're people of the land, but oftentimes they're looked down upon. So I'm saluting Priska for her work. I really genuinely do hope that it ignites some kind of revolution in people and says a lot to our governments and our homes to say that these are the people who are holding the very fiber of our countries together and our economies. So the very least we could do is show them some respect and show them some sense of humanity and give them that kind of attitude, you know, that says that we are proud of who you are and what you do for us as a people and us as an economy and the overall global economy as well. And with that, of course, just a reminder that none of what we share is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. And remember, the goal is for us to reach 10,000 subscribers or listeners by the end of Q1. So that is until March. So don't forget to subscribe, share, leave a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from. Or if you're able, please do leave a review so we can know how best we can continue to serve you in our news coverings. And until next time, be relentless.